It's birth, it's life, it's renewal, encouragement for the day. It is the Word of God, and it's right where we find ourselves today on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Make it a point to join us as we study God's Word together. Coming to you from United Reformed Church here in Linden, this is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. We welcome you to the broadcast and would invite you to join us for the next few moments as we open up God's Word, studying God's Word that we might find life. With this edition of Abounding Grace now, again from United Reformed Church here in Linden, once again, our teacher and pastor, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Thank you for joining us on Abounding Grace on this Friday session. I am Pastor Chris Gordon, joined with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff. We are very thankful to come to you and bring this broadcast that we might all know together what we believe and why. That's very important in our day that we might be able to defend as Christians and give an answer to all who ask for the hope that is in us. Today we thought we would take up the subject of the sovereignty of God. That is sort of a hot button subject today because of sometimes all the baggage surrounding that, Wes. Maybe give us a brief overview of what the sovereignty of God is and why that doctrine is so important for us as Christians.
Well, I think the sovereignty of God basically refers to the fact that God is sovereign, that He is almighty, powerful God ruling over the universe, that there is no one, there is nothing over God. God is absolute. God is enthroned as the almighty King. And when we talk about the sovereignty of God and we look at it in its biblical context, I think the place we need to start is with the doctrine of creation. We need to start at the beginning, and we need to understand, you know, what is God's role with respect to the beginning of the world and what happened after that. And we all know, many of us know, I think, the account that we find in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 of how God created the heavens and the earth and everything in them. And we also find that same teaching elsewhere in Scripture. And one of the most powerful places I find, at any rate, is in Psalm 100, where it begins by saying, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. And then it is He who made us, and not we ourselves." And I think that's such a crucially important point for us to understand, that God is our creator. And what does that imply? What are the consequences of that?
You know, that's such a good question. You know, the sovereignty of God will have your whole worldview changed if you understand and look at it this way. And I would say today a lot of Christians struggle with this because they contrast that with their own human autonomy and free will. Yeah. But what we initially want to say here is that God is sovereign over everything. There's nothing put on an equal plane or above Him at all. And as Wes says, what are the practical implications of that? Well, we call that the doctrine of God's providence. Mm-hmm. Nothing in this world happens by chance. So that means that whatever happens in this life, whether it's good times or bad, rain and drought, fruitful and lean years, food and drink, health and sickness even, prosperity and poverty, all of that is utterly in the hand of God. And so when we understand that, that gives us a whole different view of our lives. For instance, there's a young man who's suffering from AIDS, and this was, it somehow came to him through a needle. It wasn't through drug use. It was through medical use, and he has AIDS. And for a while, he just didn't understand how that could be. And he was in the health and wealth movement that told him that if he would be a Christian, everything would get great, and it didn't. He still suffered with AIDS. He still suffered with the horrible disease of AIDS. And finally, it was the doctrine of God's sovereignty, understanding that everything was in God's hand and that God had ordained that sickness for him for God's own glory, mm-hmm. that he was able to live in full assurance and understanding that God would do what is right in his life. That gave him a whole different perspective that released him from all the other baggage of people saying, well, if you just have enough faith, then everything's going to be great.
Yeah. Well, then we think if we go back to the Bible and we find some people who suffered in the Scriptures, we think of somebody like Job. Job was a faithful man who trusted in God, but yet in God's wisdom, he decided to have everything taken away from Job. And how did Job respond to that? Did Job throw in the towel? You know, sure, he struggled. He had questions. He had doubts. And the whole book of Job relates that to us. But at the end of Job chapter 1, He says, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord."
Yeah. A whole different perspective of life, isn't it?
Absolutely.
When you understand the sovereignty of God.
Yeah. "In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. He recognized God's sovereignty, but yet he did not say that God had done evil in taking away and giving and taking away from Job."
Right. You know, and Wes, if we just thought things happened by freak chance.
Oh, boy.
You know, what comfort is there in that? The fact is that the Lord is the one who ordains all things and works all things he promises, even though we don't fully understand this, to the good for those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. You
right.
know, it's interesting. Psalm 77 is a very fascinating psalm. I would encourage you to read that, where the psalmist is really struggling with this issue. And you'll notice in the beginning of the psalm, he starts off, "I'm so troubled. I cannot speak. I meditate within my heart. I remembered God and was troubled." He's going through something.
Mm-hmm.
And so the whole focus is I. Well, the second part of the psalm, the whole thing turns. He says, "Surely I will remember your wonders. I will meditate on your work. I will talk of your deeds, your way. You are the God. You have declared. You with your arm have redeemed your people."
Yes.
The tragedy of life there presented in the first half is that he didn't fully grasp this. He didn't understand the sovereignty of God, and he turned inward.
Right.
But when he began to see that God had ordained this tragedy for his own glory, he turned outward and recognized that the Lord was using it for good and that the Lord was redeeming him through it. So the sovereignty of God has implication for everything in life,
mm-hmm.
for your whole view of everything.
Exactly. And especially, I think, you know, in times of prosperity and in times of adversity, you know, when we recognize that, you know, what we're going through is not a surprise to God. God knows what we're going through. And he is going to use what we're going through for his own good purposes. And, you know, you mentioned a moment ago from Romans 8. You know, and I often, as a pastor, when I'm meeting with people and talking, especially with those who are going through trials, this is a passage that I'll often read. And I would encourage our listeners, if you are experiencing a trial right now, look to Romans 8, read it, meditate on it, what it says there. You know, especially verse 28, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." You know, God is in control, and God has a hand of power and a heart of love for you.
You know, that's such a good point. Even Paul's perspective with this thorn in the flesh in 2 Corinthians 12, which we don't know what it is. That's been a passage that has greatly impacted me. We don't know what that thorn was. And he doesn't tell us, I suppose, in God's great wisdom so that we can relate to something like that. But the fact is that he pleaded with the Lord three times that it would depart. Even though it was a messenger of Satan to torment him, he pleaded with the Lord three times that it would depart, and the Lord said, "My grace is sufficient." God was sovereign over the thorn.
Right.
God had ordained the thorn, even though it came through the agent of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
And to the end, that God's power would be manifest in Paul's weakness,
mm-hmm.
as he depended upon the Lord. And so all things in God's sovereignty work toward that end. And Wes, that also extends to us, and this is where it gets really challenging for some Christians. I don't know why, but it extends even in salvation.
Mm-hmm.
God's complete sovereignty extends totally in every way to our salvation so that he is the determiner of our salvation. He's the one who effectually accomplishes it through the blood of Christ. As Jonah said, salvation is of the Lord.
Right. Exactly. And that begins with the work of Christ on the cross. You know, did Christ go to the cross as a surprise to God, or was that ordained of God that he would actually be there on the cross? And for that, we can go to the first chapters of the book of Acts, where the apostles clearly said that he went to the cross according to the purpose of God. It was an evil act by wicked men, but yet it was all part of God's plan for our salvation.
What a mystery.
Yeah.
So, you know, as we look at the sovereignty of God and salvation, a lot of times people react against it because it seems to affect their human autonomy. How does our responsibility and our responsible actions, which of course we are all held accountable for, correlate with the great sovereignty of God. People really struggle with that. And that's not such an easy answer in terms of the fact that people are accountable for what they do.
Absolutely.
So you have two lines in a sense, God's sovereignty and our responsibility that are go straight up and are resolved in the mind of God. So anyone who is not saved, it's because they didn't trust in Christ. And yet at the end of the day, no one can be saved unless the Lord sovereignly works that salvation and brings about true faith in the heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people have to understand that they're, both of those things have to be held on to. And just because we stress the sovereignty of God and we speak about the sovereignty of God doesn't mean that we diminish or eliminate human responsibility to respond to what God has said in His Word.
Right. Responsibility is all over the place. Mm-hmm. On that day, somebody's not going to say, well, you just didn't elect me. They're going to say, the Lord's going to say, you didn't believe in Christ. Mm-hmm. That's the issue.
Well, and it, you know, I mentioned a moment ago about in the book of Acts in the early chapters with the apostolic preaching where they said that, you know, the Savior went to the cross. It was the response. It happened because of wicked men, but it was also part of God's purpose. And in that same context, we find the words of Peter. When people ask him, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
His sovereignty is stamped all throughout Acts. He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, has determined their pre-appointed times and boundaries of their dwellings. For what end? So that they should seek the Lord in hope that they might grope for Him and find Him, though He's not far from each one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being. There was the responsibility, well, and yet He appointed it all.
Yeah, and then in Acts, that's Acts 17, and then Acts 17:30, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now He commands all men everywhere to repent.
And that's what the call is we give. In light of God's great sovereignty, we call all men to repentance and belief in Christ because of what Christ has done for the sinner. And you proclaim Him every week at the Langley Canadian Reformed Church.
Right. We're on Sundays, having our worship services on Sundays at 9:30 and 2 o'clock. We're on 52nd Avenue in Langley near the airport. People can get more information from our website, www.langleycanrc.org.
Thanks for joining us today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.
Studying God's Word that we might grow in our affection and love for Christ. This has been Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We come to you each and every day for a short time that we might study God's Word together, that we might grow in His grace and His amazing love for us. If you have questions or comments, as always, we stand ready to do our best to answer them. We're at 360-318-0429. Again, you can reach us at 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. You can find out a bit more about us, United Reformed Church here in Linden, who we are, what we believe, worship opportunities, and the like, at lindenurc.com. Now, that's our website where we even have some of the past messages as preached by Pastor Chris Gordon. They're available for you to listen to. Again, lindenurc.com. And then, as always, you're welcome to join us for worship. Our service times are at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. We meet at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden, Washington. For directions, either go to our website, lindenurc.com, or again, call 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. We thank you for joining us today and look forward to seeing you next time for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.